All right, thank you, Brother Rusty. What a great song. There was a line, there was a lyric in that song. I believe it said, as passion was fastened by nails to a cross. I like that. I believe it was the prophet Jeremiah that said, I'm going to sound like an old-time preacher here, seek out the old paths and walk therein. Thank you. The music has been wonderful. Thank you, Brother David. David is my friend, and he does a tremendous job, and thank you for being here this morning. Let me just say this, we've got hymn books at our church, too. We've got screens, but we also have hymn books, and I was singing along. It's a joy to be here. I want you to take your copy of the Word of God and be finding with me now the Old Testament book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 37. I would invite you to be finding with me now the 37th Psalm. In just a few moments, we'll read verses 1 through 8. Psalm chapter 37. While you're finding your place there, let me say, I believe that Morningside Baptist in Valdosta, without question, has to be one of the kindest, friendliest, nicest, warmest congregations that I've experienced. Listen to what I'm about to say. Every person here is kind to me. The children are kind to me. The teenagers are kind to me. All of you have made me feel at home. You've made me feel welcome. You have treated me with such hospitality. And for that, I am so grateful. And that is a wonderful tribute to the leadership of your dear pastor. So thank you, Brother Wayne Robertson, for allowing me to be part of this Bible conference just in some small way. The preaching has thrilled my heart. Yesterday, Dr. York, was that preaching or was that preaching? And then, of course, Gerald Harris and Herman Parker are two of my heroes. I'm just glad that I know them. And Mike Stone did wonderful Sunday night. He'll do wonderful again this morning. Dr. Milliken will be preaching tomorrow. Good to see my friend Mike Everson. It has just been heaven on earth for this preacher to be here with you fine people. Thank you, and I hope you let me come back. Amen. I'm not a young preacher anymore. I'm not an old preacher either. I'm just kind of, you know, in between. I did turn 50 years old yesterday. I didn't want anybody to know. A few people knew, and I said, shh, don't tell it. I was clinging to my 40s as long as I could, but I spent my 50th birthday in the Bible conference at Morningside. But sometimes, Brother Mike, young preachers will ask me for advice. And I usually say this, it's very basic, it's very simple. This is what I say, just be kind to people. Just be kind to people as you minister. You'll win people over with your kindness before you ever get in the pulpit. Before you ever sing a song, before you ever preach a sermon, just be kind. And I've found that to be true. People will remember your kindness. Well, the people back in Polk County, that's Rockmart and that's Cedartown, those are booming metropolises there in northwest Georgia. But those dear people at Victory Baptist Church, where I have the privilege of being pastor now for almost 14 years, they will tell you without a doubt that my favorite book in the Bible is the book of Psalms. I love the book of Psalms. Now, I love every Bible book because it's all Holy Scripture. It's all the Word of God. It's all equally inspired. But to me, there is something very precious about the book of Psalms. There is something intimate about the Psalms. There's something very special about the Psalms. And Psalm 37 is what we call a Davidic psalm. That just simply means that David is the author. David is the psalmist. David is the writer. David wrote Psalm 37. He penned it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We know, of course, that the book of Psalms is the Jewish song book. It's a Hebrew hymn book. It's a music book. It is a collection of praise and worship. But Psalms is also a prayer book. It is a devotion book. If you are looking for a place to do your early morning meditation and quiet time and scripture reading, I would recommend to you the book of Psalms. And the psalmist seems to be communicating with God. And the psalmist in Psalm 37 is David. So David is crying out to God. He is talking to God. He's speaking to God. He's praying to God. And Brother Gerald, I found out a long time ago that prayer is not a one-way street. Prayer is two-way communication. So David is talking to God, and God is talking to David. When I pray, I talk to God, and God talks to me. When you pray to God and speak to God, and in return, God speaks to you. And aren't you glad we can hear His still, small voice? So I believe in Psalm 37 that David is speaking to God. He's talking to God. He's praying to God. Watch this. From his emotions. Out of his emotions. Now some would say, don't be too emotional. Don't be led by your emotions. And I understand that. But I also understand, beloved, that God gave us our emotions. He put emotions down in the depths of our soul. And sometimes those emotions bubble up and overflow. And I can associate with David. I can identify with David. I can relate to David. Because like David, sometimes I bask on the mountaintops, but even more, I find myself in the low-lying valley. Every now and then, I'm up, I'm high, but it seems like many times, I'm scraping the bottom. I'm lower than a cat's belly. Can anybody witness to that? So David sometimes speaks from his joy, his glee, his pleasure, his delight. But other times, David speaks from his anxiety and his panic and his fear and his stress and his dread and his depression and his discouragement. Sometimes David speaks from his misery and his malady. I think we find that in the book of Psalms. And let me just be honest. Sometimes, Sister Beth, my head is bowed low. But I remember Psalm 3. But Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. And sometimes I wander and I stray in discontentment. Sometimes it seems I've lost my way. But I remember Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Sometimes I find myself in darkness and weakness, but I remember Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Sometimes I need a place to run. I need a place to hide. So I remember Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And sometimes, Pastor, my calendar is full. My schedule is full. Rush, rush here. Rush, rush there. And it's so busy, and I can barely keep up. But I remember Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes, Brother Herman, I feel so dirty, and I have to get right before God. I have to repent. And I remember Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Sometimes I need a shelter in the storm, and my enemies have risen against me. But I remember Psalm 61. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter to me, a strong tower from the enemy. Sometimes, beloved, I'm ungrateful. I forget my blessings. But then I remember Psalm 100. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Sometimes I hold back something from God. I keep back something from God. But I remember Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Sometimes I can't help myself. I am absolutely helpless. But I remember Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And sometimes it seems like this mean old world takes my breath away and I can't even breathe. But I remember the last verse in the book of Psalms. Psalm 150 and verse 6. You know it. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Did I mention that I love the book of Psalms? It's very practical to me. I always go back to Psalms. Just about every 3 or 4 weeks, the people at Victory know I'm going to be back in the book of Psalms. But now Psalm 37 is one of those Psalms that gets right down here where we live. Sometimes the book of Psalms gives me a blessing. Sometimes it gives me a blistering. Well, I find that in Psalm 37. Notice it with me. I'm just going to move through these verses. I had a pastor ask me the other day. He said, are you one of those expositors? Do you unpack the text? I said, well, as a matter of fact, I do. And you ought to do it too. That's all I know to do. Just say what God says. Now look at verse number 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You know what God says? Stop looking at everybody else. Stop watching everybody else. Stop playing the comparison game. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 4, you know this verse. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness, as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Verse 7, rest. Say that word with me. Rest. Say it again. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Now, Dr. Milliken, I love the Bible, but I don't always like the Bible. There's three words in verse 7 I don't really like. I don't want to do it, but God says to, I know it's good for me. I don't really want to rest. I really don't want to wait. And I certainly don't want to be patient. Can I get an amen right there? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. I want to call your attention to a scriptural word, a Bible word, that we find three times in the passage that we have read. David says not once, not twice, but three times, fret not. Fret not. Fret not. If he would have said it just one time, it would have been adequate. It would have been sufficient. It would have been enough. But David says it not once, not twice, but three times. Fret not. Fret not. Fret not. Go back and look at verse number 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Look at verse 7. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way. Look at verse 8, the last part. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. So I want to preach this morning for just a while, very briefly, if God would help me, on this simple subject. You guessed it. Fret not. He says it three times. Fret not. Fret not. Fret not. And it's almost as though God says, stop your fretting. Don't fret. Quit fretting. Why are you always fretting? Fret not. Let me be absolutely 100% transparent. Let me be honest. God knows my heart. I don't know my heart, but God does. You are looking at a pastor who sometimes frets. In fact, let me just be real honest. You're looking at a pastor who lots of times frets. And evidently, I'm not the only one. Because David writes a chapter about it. And he says it three times. Fret not. Fret not. Fret not. And if you'll be honest today, and you might as well because God knows, sometimes you fret. Sometimes pastors fret. Brother Wayne Robertson, to me, just looks like strength. Just someone that's just got his act together, confident, bold. I'm just glad that I'm on the same team with Brother Wayne, but your pastor, sometimes, I'm sure. He didn't tell me, but I'm sure, frets. You preachers here today, sometimes you fret. You singers, sometimes you fret. You staff members, sometimes you fret. You Christian workers, sometimes you fret. And God says, stop it. Quit it. Don't fret. Fret not. I love etymology. Etymology is the study of word study. I looked up that word fret because I'm always looking up Bible words. And this is what the lexicon said. Fret, one definition just simply said to be angry, to be wrathful. But that word fret in its most literal form means to be hot. Literally, fret means to burn, to be on fire. Sometimes we say it this way, that just burns me up. That guy over there, he's hot. That means he's angry. He's mad as an old wet hen. He's wrathful. Don't mess with him. I'm hot under the collar. I'm fired up mad. I'm mad as fire. I'm just boiling over. That's what it means to fret. So no wonder God says, don't do that. Fret not. Fret not. Fret not. Now, what is the context of Psalm 37? You got to take the text in the context. Well, I believe, no one told me this, but I believe Psalm 37, contextually, is that philosophical quandary that we have wondered and speculated for years, and it goes something like this. Why does it seem like the wicked prosper while the righteous seem to suffer? And David says, stop looking at that crowd. Stop watching that crowd. Stop playing the comparison game. Let me just put it on real terms. How come that God-hating, infidel, pagan crowd, how come they live in a mansion on a hill? And I'm a godly person. I come to church. I believe the Lord. Why do I have to live in just a small, humble abode? How come that ungodly crowd, they're knocking down triple-digit salary? And I'm trying my best to live for God, and I'm just trying to survive on meager means, just on fixed income. How come that crowd over there, they don't pray, they don't read their Bible, they don't tithe, they don't go to church, they don't worship, they don't praise, but it seems like everybody in their family is healthy as a horse. And we don't miss church. We pray and we worship and we read the Bible and we try our best to praise the Lord, but it seems like we're always at the doctor. We're always having to go to the hospital. And how come that ungodly family, how come their members always live to be 90 and 100 years old, but my family, we're trying our best to live for God, and seems like we're going down to the funeral home all the time? Have you ever wondered about stuff like that? The Bible word for that is envy. Envious. Look at verse number 1 again. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Stop looking at them. Stop watching them, Brother Herman. Stop playing that comparison game. Because hear me, child of God, for that ungodly crowd right now is as good as it's ever going to be. But for the godly right now is as bad as it will ever be. Watch this. For the child of God, it's only going to get better. But for that wicked crowd, it's only going to get worse. Let me just say it plain, because plain talk is understood. We're going to heaven one day to live with Him. One day they're going to a lake of fire. I know that's firm. I know that's hard. But Brother Mike, I don't know how else to say it. That's how David says it in verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So I just want to close now by being very practical, life application. David's going to give us 4 alternatives to fret. David's going to give us 4 things that we can do instead of fretting. 4 things that we can do rather than fretting. And Brother Mike Stone, my outline today, gasp, is not alliterated. I do alliteration about 95% of the time, but I have to be honest, I get tired of it. I get tired of P's and S's and C's. So today I don't have a slick outline. What I'm going to do, Brother Wayne, is just use the Bible word. four action words, four verbs. Time out. I found out a long time ago, Brother Gerald, that you don't always need to preach nouns, because noun preaching is what preaching. But when you preach verbs, it's how preaching. So let me give you these four how verbs here. Number one, instead of fretting, trust. It's right there in our passage. Instead of fretting, trust. It's very simple. Look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord. Look at verse 5. Trust also in Him. You know what that word trust means? I'm just going to say it simple. I think it means to believe God. To put our faith in God. Years ago when I first started preaching, I remember that faith acrostic. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all. I trust Him. I'm going to move down here. I weigh over 200 pounds. How much do you weigh exactly? None of your business. Did you see what I just did? I just plopped my 200 plus pound self on that chair, and I didn't look underneath it. I didn't check out the mechanical components of that chair. I didn't look to see if there was a loose screw or a loose bolt. I just trusted that chair. I just believed that chair would hold me up and keep me from falling. I trusted the chair. Well, I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, if I keep plopping on that chair long enough, I'm going to be in the floor. But I need to say this. I'm trusting in one that'll always hold me up and will always keep me from falling. Trust in the Lord. Instead of fretting, y'all, trust Him. Everybody knows Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Dr. York last night preached from Hebrews 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith. It's the faith chapter, Hebrews 11, 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Just trust Him instead of fretting. Trust. There's a lot of hats that I wear as the pastor of Victory Baptist Church. Let me tell you something I'm not really good at. I've got four college degrees, but I still don't know how to do it. I don't really know how to counsel. Now, I can give good advice, seemingly, and give some Bible verses, but I have people come to me all the time and want to set up an appointment with me, and they want me to give them some simple steps and some ABC, 1, 2, 3, to fix all their problems. And I've just found out I say the same thing all the time. Why don't you just trust the Lord? Won't you just trust in Him? And they look at me as if to say, you mean that's all you've got? Are you kidding me? What better thing can you do than to trust the Lord? Just trust Him. Look at verse number 3 again. Trust in the Lord and do good. Do what you know to do is good. Do what is right. You know what to do is right. You know what's right. Sometimes it's easier to do what's wrong than it is to do what's right. Seems like everybody else, they're trying to do what's wrong instead of doing what's right. But God says, trust in the Lord. Instead of fretting, just trust in Him and do good. Well, number one, instead of fretting, trust. Number two, instead of fretting, the Bible word, delight. Delight. Verse 4 is very familiar. Look at it. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Let me confess, for years, Pastor, I twisted verse 4 and tried to make it line up with my selfish will. This is what I said. Well, if I'll just delight myself in the Lord, then He'll just have to do what I say. If I delight myself in the Lord, He'll just have to do what I say for Him to do. If I delight myself in Him, then He'll just have to give me whatever I want. But when you look at that word delight, that's the key. It means more than just to take pleasure. Oh, I learned this. That word delight, when you look it up, it means to be soft and it means to be pliable. I don't know about you. I want to have a soft heart. I don't want to have a hard heart. Job said, "He maketh my heart to be soft." I want to have a tender heart. And then I want to be flexible. I want to be able to bend with God. It's true, sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down, sometimes we're high, sometimes we're low. We're on that emotional roller coaster. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But you got to just trust God and delight yourself in Him instead of fretting. Delight in the Lord. And here's what I'm learning. When you truly delight in Him, the desire of your heart will be the desire of His heart. I wrote this down on my notes. It's not about making God's desire conform to my desire. It's about making my desire conform to His desire. When I got up this morning, I got up early because I had to study. And I did not tell myself, "Self, it's time to get up. It's time to start fretting. I don't want to fret. I know I'm not supposed to fret. I know I don't need to fret." But sometimes because of situations and circumstances and stuff, I fret. But God says, instead of fretting, trust. Instead of fretting, delight. But then there's another word. Number three, instead of fretting, commit. Commit. Look at verse 5. "Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Now, when we use that word commit, we say things like this: you ought to be committed in your prayer life. You ought to be committed in Bible reading. You ought to be committed to church attendance. And let me just say this. Someone asked me the other day, "Pastor, would you rather have talented church members or committed church members?" I'd rather have committed church members any day. But that's not really the word commit there. Oh, Dr. Milliken, when I looked up that word, I got excited. That word commit literally means to roll something over. To roll it on to someone else. Brother Mike, you've preached at our church, and we built that sanctuary back in 2014, and I didn't realize it as the church was being designed and built, but then, kind of like y'all's, Brother Wayne, the entire front of the church is altar. I mean, it stretches from one wall to the other wall. It's just the whole thing is altar. And sometimes I preach my guts out, and not one person goes to the altar. Sometimes I preach and a few people go to the altar. Sometimes I preach and several people go to the altar. Every now and then I'll preach and everybody comes. I don't know what happens, but man, people just flood the altar. And I see them two or three deep and everybody is on the altar. Did you know that the altar will alter your life? And you know what they're doing? They're doing what verse 5 says. Committing it. Rolling it on God, giving Him all of our stuff. This is country talk. Sometimes we don't need to tote that load. We just need to roll it on Him. Is that not what Peter said? 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon all your stuff, all your burdens, that big old load, cast it all on Him. He cares for you. You know what, Brother Mike Everson, God has never said to me, now I've had a lot of Baptists say this to me, but God never has. God has never said, "You're putting too much on me. You're just loading me down. I'm burned out as it is. God has never said that. Had a lot of church members tell me that. But God keeps saying this. Load me down. Bring it on. Roll it on me. I can tote the load. You've been trying to carry it. That's why you're so burdened down and bogged down and loaded down. Just bring it to me. Bring me all those cares. Bring me all those frets. Bring me all those worries. Bring me all those anxieties and all those depressions and all those worries and all those stresses and all that panic and all that fear and all that dread. Just roll it on to me. Instead of fretting, trust. Instead of fretting, delight. Instead of fretting, commit. And then there's one more. Just preaching the passage. And this is my favorite one. Instead of fretting, rest. Rest. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. He says it again. Stop looking at them. Stop watching that ungodly crowd. Stop playing the comparison game. That word rest is so beautiful. You think maybe it just means to go lie down and take a nap, but it's much more than that. I looked up that word rest, and this is what it said. Interesting. To be silent. Sometimes, no offense, but sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is just shut up. Just close your mouth. I saw this years ago. I don't know who first said it. But the word silent and the word listen have the same letters. It's just the arrangement. Now you think about that. Silent, listen. It's just the arrangement of letters. I've already told you Psalm 46:10. Be still. Rest. Be quiet. Listen. Be silent. And know that He has got all just rest. Rest in the Lord. You know what it is, Brother Wayne? Resting is right the opposite of fretting. When you're fretting, you're flitting around here and flitting around there. You're all stressed up. You're all in a tizzy. You're in the rat race. You're trying to keep up with the Joneses. Did you know if you ever do catch up with the Joneses, when you finally get up to that level with the Joneses, they're just going to refinance and you'll have to start all over. Got anybody by the last name of Jones here? We're trying to keep up with y'all. We can't make it. We can't keep up with these Joneses over here. David says, just rest in the Lord. Stop your murmuring. Stop your mumbling. I'm talking to me. Stop your moaning and groaning and grumbling and belly aching and complaining. Stop whining all the time. Stop fretting. Fret not. Fret not. Fret not. He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently. I'm almost done. That word wait, I thought for years it just meant to kind of sit around on the stool and do nothing. But that word wait means to be active. When you go to a restaurant, that attendant comes over to your table and she waits on you. She's your server. She's your waitress. You know what she's doing? She's serving. She's going. She's working. She's doing something. That man comes over to your table and takes your order. He is your waiter. He is your server. While we're waiting on the Lord, we just keep doing what we know to do. Just keep working. Just keep serving. And he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And then verse 8. Cease from anger. Stop fretting. Forsake wrath. Stop fretting. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Lord, we love You. And once again, it just seems like I came down to Valdosta and just kind of bore my soul and just told everybody kind of where I live. Lord, I do love you. I don't love you the way you love me, but I do love you. But God, sometimes in my humanity, I get all hot and bothered. I get hot under the collar. I just begin to burn up and seethe because of the stuff of life. I fret. So I needed to hear this reminder today. In fact, you tell us three times, fret not. Fret not. Fret not. Instead of fretting, just trust the Lord. You don't have to understand everything He's doing, just trust Him. Just put your faith in Him. Just believe Him. Instead of fretting, delight. Have a soft heart. Be flexible. And I believe the desire of your heart will be the desire of His heart. Instead of fretting, why don't you just go ahead and rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Keep serving, keep going, but rest in Him. And then, instead of fretting, verse 5 says, just roll it on Him. Stop carrying it around. Stop letting it consume you. Stop letting it control you. Stop letting it take over your life and rob you of your joy. Just commit it to Him. Just bring it to Him. Just cast it on Him. Thank you, Lord, for this reminder. Fret not. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.